to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Welcome to the show tonight. It is Saturday evening, November 1st, 2008, and we have taken our show on the road this weekend, not broadcasting from our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio out of Memphis, Tennessee, although they're picking us up via satellite, as are all the RBN affiliate stations that carry the Political Cesspool. We are broadcasting, in fact, tonight from Atlanta, Georgia. The first mobile cesspool broadcast in the program's history. So we're very excited to be here amongst so many great people and fans that we have in the Atlanta area. As you'll remember, last week we had a rather fun show, a typically lighthearted program amidst all of the gloom and doom that we so often focus on any given broadcast. We discussed the ancient European origins of Halloween last week before having an exclusive interview with Senator John DeCamp. We later talked with David Saeed, who is a former government official from Panama, before celebrating our fourth anniversary on the air. All that took place last week in that program, and about 800 others are available online at thepoliticalcesspool.org in our broadcast archive. So if you missed our most recent edition, we encourage you to go and listen to it online. Again, I want to welcome everyone back to the show tonight. I'm your host, James Edwards. Tonight, unlike last week, will be all business. We have a quartet of stellar guests. And I say this in all sincerity, my friends, this could be one of the most dynamic and insightful broadcasts we have ever carried. Coming up for you this evening, we will hear from Dr. Richard Lynn, a noted scientist and author of many, many great books, including IQ and the Wealth of Nations, and his most recent magnum opus, The Global Bell Curve. We're going to hear later on in the program a full hour during the middle of the show from USA Today columnist and frequent television commentator Peter Gemma. He's going to be giving us an hour-long election primer. And regardless of who wins, you know the old saying, no matter who wins, we lose. And that's certainly applicable to what's going to unfold on Tuesday. So we thought it would be appropriate during the third hour to talk with a gentleman who owns a survival preparedness outfit. That's Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. So you're going to have you're going to be covered no matter who wins, because we're going to let you know how to safeguard your family and your interests. And we're also going to let you know how to do it financially with our first guest coming up right after our first break for the evening, Mr. John Gardner. So all that and more, four great guests, 3 hours of stellar radio coming to you this evening here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we are going to do our damnedest to give you a good show. This, our final show before the big, disastrous presidential election. So that's coming up on Tuesday. And then, of course, we'll be back with you next Saturday with the coverage of the fallout. That being said, we're going to take our first break. I'm James Edwards. You're listening to The Political Cesspool. We'll be back to kick things off with John Gardner right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of The Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. You never know when an emergency will strike.
Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Katahdin Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
Welcome back to the program, everyone, the political cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, for at least the last month, we have been focusing at least a portion of each program to coverage of the current economic crisis. And we've done this by bringing on some very renowned experts in the field, such as Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. The man I'm introducing to you now is a man that I would put on the same level as Dr. Roberts. He is John Gardner, an independent investor. Mr. Gardner received his BA from Johns Hopkins University and his JD, summa cum laude, from Ohio State University Law School. Mr. Gardner was a tax attorney who was so good, he was able to retire at the age of 49, and he's on our program this evening making his debut appearance to give us his perception and analysis of the economy, as it were. Mr. Gardner, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, James. I'm delighted to be here, and I want to tell your listeners that America is your country and my country, but our government is not our government. It is a political cesspool.
And you found a way to incorporate the name of the program. Now, that's slick, but I'll tell you what, we have no shortage of truth on this program, and John's going to give you a lot more of it. John, as you know, I was talking with you earlier today in sort of a pre-interview type of situation, and I was quite mesmerized with your take on what's going on now. I know time is limited, and this is such a complex issue, but I'd like to just turn the forum over to you at the moment and ask you, What would you like to convey to our listening audience tonight with regards to the economy? What is the most important things that you believe they need to know?
They need to know a couple things. In this environment of economic crisis, when all the delusions of the financial industry have brought the chickens home to roost, you need to focus on survival and at least keeping what you have. Average wages have not risen in real terms since 1978. And now, with the baby boom retiring, and having been convinced by the financial industry that you will have a prosperous retirement by simply buying stocks and holding for the long term, nobody has bothered to tell you that over the next 20 years, 70 million baby boomers are going to be retiring, and they're all going to begin to sell. Now, with that supply overhang, it is very unlikely that you're going to keep pace with inflation. And in order to survive, you need to focus not on diversification and not on buy and hold for the long term, but you need to identify the delusions out there that our government and our financial system are operating on, and then when the trend turns, bet against them.
Well, that's certainly some practical advice, and again, not to sound repetitive, a lot of truth there. I think we focused quite a bit with Dr. Roberts and some of the other economic experts on the program over the last couple of weeks as to what the cause was that precipitated this current free fall in the economy and the volatility in the stock market. Mr. Gardner, I'd like to ask you, because I don't think we have gotten to explore it to the extent that I'd like, at least so far in our coverage of this issue. What can people do out there in order to safeguard their investments and provide security for their family? Should they be investing in futures, commodities such as oil or agriculture? What's your prescription there?
Well, first of all, you got to look at what this political cesspool that resides in Washington is actually doing. And what they are doing is they are monetizing bad debt. Now, people, what that means is the Fed is running the printing presses right now and using the freshly minted money to buy up all the bad debts that Wall Street created. And what that does in turn is it increases the money supply very dramatically. It puts a floor under the price of assets. And in the long run, it is going to cause our foreign creditors, China, Japan, Russia, Saudi Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula, to demand much higher interest rates if they're going to lend us money, if they're going to lend the Treasury the money to bail us out of all our past sins. And as a consequence of that, interest rates will be rising. Long-term interest rates will be rising, and the Treasury bond is a screaming short sale over the long run. There's absolutely no question about that. And very few people are taking that bet right now, which means that it looks timely to me as a veteran contrarian. That's one answer. We're going to have increasing inflation. The commodities boom you saw from 2001 through approximately March, April of this current year, 2008, will resume, and it will resume with a vengeance. Because ultimately, China and Russia and Japan, those countries are going to want to sell their bonds and buy things that have real tangible value, like copper and like chromium and silver and platinum and to a lesser extent, gold. The sources of supply for these things are crumbling. I am sorry, but South Africa's power supply has become unreliable. The mines go down regularly. We have not only peak oil coming, but we have peak gold. We have peak copper. We have all the cheap and easily accessible supplies of these commodities have been found and exploited, and now the supply is going to be much more expensive. It's still there and available, but it's going to cost a whole lot more to pull it out of the ground.
Ladies and gentlemen, the guest that we have on the line right now, John Gardner, is certainly considered an expert in his field when it comes to advice regarding financial and economic questions. I wanted to remind you that the call-in number here to RBN this evening is 1-800-313-9443. This is certainly a question and an issue that's got a lot of people upset and anxious, and there's a lot of questions out there. And if you want to have the ear of a man that could lend you sound and practical advice, I'd like to make that opportunity available to you, and we'd love to hear from you as always. So the lines are now open, 1-800-313-9443, if you have a question about the economy, the stock market, for John Gardner. John, let's go into fantasy world for a moment here and pretend that the American government would have it in its own interests to safeguard the interests of European Americans and the founding stock of this country. If that was, in fact, the case, what steps would the government need to take in order to strengthen the dollar and put our economy back on sound ground?
Wow. You know, that's something we I don't often get a chance to think about simply because it is fantastic.
It's so fantastic, I know.
But, I mean, a lot of things would change. You know, first of all, the way to clean up the mess is not to bail out the idiots and you know the greedy bastards who got us into this trouble and keep them in their seats with this bailout, but rather to dramatically speed up the bankruptcy process so that all these bad investments can be liquidated very quickly and the pain will be short and sharp, and then we can begin a rapid recovery. The problem with the bailout and buying and monetizing all this bad debt and keeping all the bad debt in the banks and issuing additional preferred shares that injects equity into these banks is they're going to stay conservative and they're going to try to work out all that bad paper by you know borrowing short and lending long for years and years, which drags out this deflationary recession process for a long time, just as Japan did. I mean, Japan's been in this crisis for almost 20 years now, and you know, it looks like we're following the same path. You know, we're keeping these financial institutions alive rather than letting the prudent people buy up the assets in bankruptcy court and liquidating the debt of these financial institutions, but keeping depositors safe at the same time. So that would be a first step, James.
John, we have a couple of callers on the line. I want to quickly try to take one. We only have a minute or two before break. Mike from Ohio, a question for John Gardner.
Hey, James Edwards. It's me again. I called 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, good to hear from you again.
Yes, I'm doing well. This is sort of an aside, but I'm wondering, what do you think is going to be the future when it comes to oil prices in the next year or so? Because I see that the prices are already going down, like right before the election, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, it's no surprise. I mean, oil prices have a tendency to go down before elections because it's very easy for the government to slow down purchases for the military and let let stocks and inventories that they have fall. But in the long run, oil prices are headed a lot higher. The real disaster in this crash, the stock market crash, is the oil service industry has tanked about 65%. And what that tells me is that an awful lot of oil companies are cutting back their exploration programs, and it takes geometrically more drilling and more exploration just to keep oil production at current levels. And obviously this exploration and drilling activity is going to subside. That's what the price of the oil service sector tells us. So you're really better off buying crude oil either on the futures markets, or you can buy it in the form of an exchange traded fund, an ETF. The largest and most actively traded is USO.
Hey, John, not to cut you off. We got about 5 seconds to break. These commercial breaks on network radio are relentless and unforgiving. We're going to take a break. James Edwards and John Gardner will return right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages. And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. I come
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
A world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs?
Question:
do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound.
Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited.
Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system.
Without water, you die.
It's all online at survivalistseeds.com.
Are you prepared?
That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become
property of the New World Order.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards here, broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia. We've taken our show on the road. That's how big we are now. And we're talking about a very serious issue with John Gardner, independent investor, highly educated man, and former practicing tax attorney. John, it does a disservice to such an important issue to try to cram it into a couple of short segments here on the program this evening. This is easily something that we could talk about for the entire show and still, get to the tip of the iceberg. But turning it back over to you, is there anything that I failed to ask you tonight that you think would be important that our listeners remember?
Well, we ought to, at a later date, James, we ought to spend a whole hour talking about how elegantly designed this financial system in America is and how brutally effective it is at parting you from your assets over the long haul. I mean, you know, I hate to sound pessimistic, but the financial industry is not your friend. And that's one thing you have to realize. And I think to protect yourself, there are a couple rules you have to follow. One is watch out for leverage. Don't be borrowing money to make these investments. You have to worry about what, you know, financial analysts call portfolio structure. You have to be able to survive a drawdown, just in case you're wrong. In the, 5 years from now, I have absolutely no doubt that crude oil will be far higher in price than it is today. But in the meantime, if you have the wrong portfolio structure and you have debt and you don't keep some cash on the sidelines, you could get into trouble. And that's caused a lot of people trouble in this crash. But the main reason for the crash, quite frankly, is these highly leveraged hedge funds, which fortunately most of your listeners aren't rich enough to have invested in the first place. They're having to deleverage and sell assets through the margin clerk in order to pay down their debt. So you don't want debt. You want to keep clean. You want to take it slow. The markets are going to be around next week, next month, next year, 5 years from now. But, you know, at some point, you know, I got to go through the whole long story of how this system is stacked against you, especially you European Americans, because you're where the profit is. I remember in law school, you know, they always used to tell us in con law that majorities always exploit minorities. Nonsense. There's no money in exploiting minorities. Every elite throughout history has always exploited the majority because that's where the money is. You European Americans who are listening, you're where the money is, and they're going to get it unless you're sharp and you're skeptical and you protect yourself.
But with that being said, and it goes without saying that I wholeheartedly agree with you, but with that being said, you touched on something that I'd like to ask, and I guess it could perhaps even be considered a rhetorical question. But you don't subscribe to the notion that a lot of gloom and doom theorists do, that this is the beginning of the end of the American economy. You do believe that it is salvageable on some levels if we take the appropriate route.
Well, listen, let's assume for the sake of argument that we are descending like Argentina did from first world status. Argentina in 1920 had the third highest per capita income on the planet, into a third world basket case. Let's assume that America is, in fact, under the current plan and under the current administrations that we can expect next Tuesday, to descend into a third world mess. There's a lot of money to be made. When a first world country descends to third world status, the volatility increases. There are huge trending moves in the stock market. And the people who understand this can make a ton of money. I mean, there's a lot of money to be made in this process. So don't think it won't happen. But am I pessimistic about our prospects? No. I mean, if you understand what the system is really all about, you can do very well, even with a small amount of money.
Fascinating, John. Well, you've actually, I guess, in a roundabout way, infused perhaps a little hope into our audience tonight. I know some of the folks we've had on recently were a little more pessimistic, and you seem to be the eternal optimist, at least in so much as there is the possibility and opportunity to navigate ourselves out of this morass, should we find it within ourselves to, in fact, do that.
Oh, certainly, certainly. Nothing is written. You know, we have free will, and you know, James, one of the things I need to tell your audience is that if they're feeling uneasy and skeptical about our government, they are 80% along the way to having the necessary ingredient for doing very well with their investments, because you don't buy the BS. And that's critical. You've got to be a skeptic, but you got to learn to wait until the trends turn. And then once the market begins to recognize your wisdom, you ride it. And that's how you do well. James, we need to go through this.
We're going to have you, John, we're going to have you back on. It's been a fascinating interview. We only have 20 seconds left, and I don't want to run into a dead end while you're about to go into another topic. We're absolutely going to have you on for a more exhaustive interview. But with 10 seconds to go, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule tonight to be with our audience and enlighten them to the extent that you could with the time available. Look forward to having you back soon, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
The political cesspool continues right after this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere.
Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Let's just
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John Tate, a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And now let's return to the political cesspool.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back again to the program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and we go from one incredibly intelligent guest to another here on the show tonight. That's what you tune in for, and that's what we try to deliver. It's now my very esteemed honor to welcome a gentleman and a scholar, in fact, a very famous scientist, as it were. Richard Lynn is Emeritus Professor of Psychology of the University of Ulster, Coleraine, in Northern Ireland. He graduated in psychology at the University of Cambridge and has held positions at the University of Exeter and the Economic and Social Research Institute in Dublin. He is the author of the most recent book entitled The Global Bell Curve, Race, IQ, and Inequality Worldwide. Dr. Lynn, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Very good to have you. We consider it indeed a high honor. Dr. Lynn, I want to ask you, what led a man of your esteem intelligence to pursue the line of research that you did?
Well, I was really interested in the different economic performances of different countries, particularly in the 1960s when Britain was doing rather poorly in relation to Germany and Japan in particular. This was a period in which the Japanese were pulling ahead economically and destroying many of our British industries, particularly shipbuilding, and motorbike manufacturer and car manufacturers. I began to wonder why this was, and because I was interested in intelligence, I had the hunch that maybe the Japanese were just a bit more intelligent than we are. So I was on the lookout to try and find some evidence to, that would bear on this, and I discovered that, in fact, they are. About 5 IQ points higher than the British and other European peoples.
And so in finding that, did that satisfy your curiosity, or was that just the beginning of your research?
And well, that was really the beginning. Having made this initial discovery, I then thought it would be interesting to see whether other people in that part of the world, Northeast Asian peoples, namely the Chinese and the Koreans, whether these had these high IQs as well. So I began to research, I began to research this, and I found that they had. And then I began to research other European peoples, both in Europe and in the United States and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. And I found there are very consistent IQ differences. I set the European IQ at 100. Now, in relation to this, then, the Japanese have the IQ of 105, and that's also true of the Chinese and the Koreans. Similarly, as European peoples have this IQ of 100, that's to say, wherever they are, in New Zealand, in Canada, Australia, and the United States, and in Argentina and Chile. So there was a remarkable degree of consistency all over the world.
And just to set the record straight, and I want to just back up for a moment and let this be clear to the listening audience. The man they're hearing from right now, Dr. Richard Lin, is universally recognized as the world's foremost scientist when it comes to race, IQ, and wealth studies. And so, Dr. Lin, that being established, why was it important to you to understand the IQ differences and trace the breadcrumb trail back to why, in fact, these differences exist?
Well, it's partly a practical matter of practical interest that one's interested in why the Japanese and some of these other the South Koreans and the Chinese in Taiwan and in Hong Kong and in Singapore, one's interested in why they have been so economically successful in the last decades. This seemed to provide an answer to that, but it's also just a matter of intellectual interest that people in the social sciences are interested, particularly in economics, but also in sociology and psychology. People are interested in why some peoples are more successful than others. And the assumption has been that all peoples have the same IQs. And so it can't be an IQ difference because everyone has the same IQs. There must be some other differences. But economists have never really been able to explain this. So I believe that this makes a contribution to this economic problem.
Well, and I know in doing these studies, you have established that Jews and Asians have slightly higher IQs than European Americans or whites. And then at the bottom of the totem pole, you would have Aboriginal Australians, if I'm not mistaken. Can an ethno group improve their lot with regards to IQ, or is this something that just is? Is it possible to see a great leap in terms of a racial group's IQ going upwards or downwards based upon any sort of practice they could employ?
Well, you've got two problems here. It is possible to improve the IQs of groups, principally through improvements in nutrition. Most of these groups that have low IQs do not have totally adequate nutrition, and that affects the development of their brain. It affects the actual way their brain works as part of the nervous system. And in order to have the optimum development of the brain, the brain needs approximately 25 nutrients, things like iron, folic acid, the vitamins. It needs the right amount of all these small amounts, but some amounts of all these nutrients. So these tend to be lacking in the diets of impoverished peoples. Now, if you could improve the diets of these peoples who have low IQs, the Australian Aborigines, the blacks in sub-Saharan Africa in particular, some of these Asian groups who are impoverished, undoubtedly you'd improve their intelligence, but you wouldn't improve it up to the level of Europeans and Northeast Asians. You'd probably bring it up about halfway. You get about a 50% increase with improved nutrition.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are, again, talking with Dr. Richard Lynn here in a very rare opportunity to speak with a man who has done so much research in an individual field. And we're talking about the perhaps very controversial yet highly fascinating issue of race and IQ and the disparities between IQs with regards to the different racial makeups of certain groups. So if you would like to have the privilege of asking a question of Dr. Lynn, I'd like to open up the phone lines on this program right now. They're 1-800-313-9443. And again, the topic is IQ and race. 1-800-313-9443. We made mention of the fact earlier, Dr. Lynn, that your most recent book, your most recent of a long string of highly celebrated books is, and I'm holding it in my hand right now, The Global Bell Curve, Race, IQ, and Inequality Worldwide. We've covered this topic to a small degree thus far. What could readers of your new book find within its pages that we haven't talked of as of yet?
Well, as the highest IQ is held by the Jews. We haven't talked about that. And this is why this applies to the European Jews, or what are technically called the Ashkenazim, as distinct from the Oriental Jews from the Middle East and from North Africa. The Ashkenazim have the highest IQ in the world of any group. We put their IQ at 110. And this is why the Jews have been and are so successful. The Jews are very heavily overrepresented among the very wealthy, Nobel Prize winners, in elite professions, in medicine, in the law, in banking, virtually in any field of human endeavor. The Jews are highly successful, and this is virtually certainly an expression of their high IQs. That's perhaps one of the most interesting things that we haven't touched on so far.
Have you found, not to deviate too far from the path of the interview here, but I just want to ask you this question. Have you found have there been any defiance to your research and findings? Has it stirred up any sort of controversy, and if so, why has that occurred?
Well, there's certainly some people who don't like these results and have disputed them. Why has this happened? Well, this has a political dimension to it. It's not just like pure science, like, you know, physicists might be producing a theory about electrons or something like that. It's not just, an intellectual inquiry. It does have these political resonance to it. And some people are very sensitive about this. They feel very uncomfortable that these differences exist. They'd very much rather that they didn't exist. So I think that's really the reason that this has stirred up controversy.
I've got a two-part question here. The first of which is an almost obvious question, but I'd like to have your answer anyway, and that is, why is it important to understand these disparities in IQ? And secondly, how should we employ the findings of your research societally?
Well, let's try the first of these questions first, shall we? Why is it important? Well, looking within our societies and also looking across the whole world, there are very serious problems attached to the fact that some groups don't perform well as others. Now, I mean, in the United States and also in Britain and elsewhere in Europe and in Canada, blacks don't perform so well as Asians and Europeans. And this is a serious practical political problem, and in order to overcome it, various political measures are taken, like affirmative action, spending more money on schools attended by blacks or busing of blacks from black neighborhoods into white neighborhoods to schooling, preferential admissions to universities. All these kinds of policies are put in place in order to try to overcome this problem. And, it gives rise to a great deal of bitterness among blacks and among sympathizers with blacks that they are in these disadvantaged circumstances in life. So all this is important to understand at the level of the United States, and similar problems arise in Britain. And then looking globally, there's the great problem of the poverty in Africa, which distresses many people. Almost every day as we open the newspapers, we see pictures of starving Africans and appeals for donations to give aid to them. So this is, as it were, a problem for the conscience of us Europeans, that there is all this poverty, and many people feel moral obligations to do something about it, help if they can. And so this is really something we need to understand.
Along that line of thinking, you bring up an age-old debate here. With regards to IQs, as it applies to the different races and their standardized IQs, how much of it is attributable to poverty or economic conditions and environment compared to downright natural genetics?
About 50% of each. And what
Really?
That means is, take Africans in sub-Saharan Africa. If we could provide them with the same kind of environment that we have in the United States and in Europe, a wealthy, affluent environment in which people have excellent nutrition and excellent education and excellent health services, which they don't have in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, if we could provide them with that kind of environment, probably their IQs would increase by about 50%, by which I mean is the gap between the European peoples and the sub-Saharan African peoples would diminish to about half of what it is at present. The residue, however, is due to the genetic differences, which are expressed in differences in brain size. Blacks have smaller brain size than Europeans and Northeast Asians, and that is part of the reason that their IQs are lower, because the brain size is a determinant of the IQs. So that wouldn't be assisted by providing the improved environment. So the improved environment would undoubtedly help close the gap, but it wouldn't close it completely because of the genetic basis of them. Excuse me.
No, that's quite all right. Another question, Dr. Lynn, and I know we're coming up on a break here in a couple of moments, but let's just say, and people should, because as I said, no one has done more exhaustive research on this issue than you have, and you've been doing it your whole life all around the world, numerous studies and researches and books been published that document your findings. That being said, let's just imagine that the world accepts your findings as fact, because I do, and most people should. With that being said, what does that mean? Should people just say, okay, well, it's a fact that some groups have higher IQs than others? What should people do about it? How should they apply those findings in society? Should they, should the Europeans or the Asians use their own resources through philanthropy, as so many liberal groups do, to try to improve the lots of the ethnic groups with lower IQs? Or should they understand that this is something that is, and make sure that those with the best natural ability be in positions of leadership?
Well, I think it's these economic and political problems of the in poverty in different parts of the world, in sub-Saharan Africa and in Australian Aborigines and some parts of Asia. We first of all just need to understand why this is. It's a bit like a medical problem. You only really make progress if you understand what is the nature of the problem. Well, once that's accepted, then we will know the kind of steps that can be taken to improve this problem. We can direct our aid to nutritional improvements, possibly to the reduction of family size, because many of these populations have large family size and they aren't able to provide a beneficial environment to all these numerous children. So I think
Dr. Lin, I don't mean to interrupt you. We have 10 seconds to break. We're going to take this break.
How to direct our efforts to improve the situation.
Dr. Lin, we're going to take a break. We've got 5 seconds to break, and when we come back, I'm going to let you pick up right where you left off. Sit tight, everybody. The political cesspool continues with Dr. Richard Lin right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
At the time of death, loved ones are forced to make many important and difficult decisions. Planning together allows families to avoid difficult decisions in the future and gives you peace of mind now. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is a new perpetual care cemetery located 1 mile south of Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Autumn Woods is the largest cemetery in DeSoto County and serves the entire DeSoto County, Memphis metropolitan area. Autumn Woods Memorial Park allows for a dignified and peaceful final resting place. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is locally owned and operated. The staff is committed to providing the best possible service at the most affordable price. Autumn Woods Memorial Park now has side-by-side lots starting at $600. Come by and visit our beautiful property, conveniently located at 6240 Davison Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, or call us at 901-521-9520. You can also find us online at www.autumnwoodsmemorialpark.com. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
You know, for the last 4 years, this radio program has earned a vaunted reputation for bringing to you some of the brightest minds of the movement, and I think we're living up to that reputation this evening in the first hour alone by bringing you the likes of John Gardner, the independent investor, and of course our very esteemed guest right now, Dr. Richard Lin. Dr. Lin, thank you for hanging on with us throughout the break. We have a couple of callers who have been waiting patiently to ask a question of you, the first of which, Craig in New York. Craig, you're on the line with Dr. Richard Lynn.
Oh, thank you very much, James. Dr. Lynn?
Hello there.
Hi, it's an honor to be speaking to a man as respected as you.
Talk to you. What question do you have?
Yes, I just wanted to, people talk about environment and genetics, but in today's world, a big topic, especially on campuses where I just graduated, is miscegenation, race mix. And I was wondering, what kind of effect does the intermixing of, say, a high IQ race and a low IQ race have on the heritability of IQ?
No effect, really, because IQ has a high heritability in both races. Now, the offspring of a mixed race relationship will normally have an IQ about halfway between the two parent races.
Hmm.
But the heritability will remain the same.
Okay, I was just wondering because my campuses, especially in culture today, they say miscegenation is a way to improve conditions, get rid of differences and all that. I was just wondering about that.
No, don't think so, no. You'll just get a group of... We see this among the colored people in South Africa, who are mixed-race people between blacks and whites. They're called the coloreds. And their intelligence is just about halfway between the two groups, the two blacks and the blacks and the whites, you see?
Okay.
Okay.
Very interesting. Thank you very much for the call, Craig, in New York. Always good to talk to you. I know you're a regular caller and a loyal listener, and it's always good to have you on the line. Dr. Lynn, our time is beginning to become fleeting. I'd like to ask you the same question I asked John Gardner in summation. Is there anything, sir, that you'd like to convey to our audience this evening that I haven't had the opportunity to ask you of yet?
Well, I think we should look at all this research in relation to the immigration question. There's massive immigration of third world peoples into the United States and Canada and also into Western Europe. And these people have lower IQs than the European peoples do, using that broadly, American Europeans and European Europeans. And these immigrants are not able to adapt so successfully as Europeans are in European societies. And that gives rise to serious problems because these non-European immigrants, normally Hispanics and blacks in the United States and blacks and Asians in Europe, they don't do, because they have low IQs, they don't do well in the educational system.
Dr. Lynn, just sit tight. We're going to let you conclude your thought right after this. We've got to go to break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Don't go away. Hour number two of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Now think what the future would be.